Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51. Let's start reading in verse 48. Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 48. It says, "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and seeth it not without any intermission. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of the daughters of my city." Let's pray. Lord, I pray you bless this sermon and help us to all learn from your word tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just use it in our lives to grow us and mold us into your image. And I pray that you'd be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my sermon is, "What Are You Looking At?" What are you looking at? Jeremiah had a heart of sadness when he saw the condition of his people. Faithful Jeremiah saw a seemingly hopelessness which came from an extreme haughtiness and an exceeding hypocrisy. Let's look at the condition of that Jeremiah saw, as well as how he responded to what he saw. The existing hopelessness, that's my first point, is the existing hopelessness. We can turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 36. 1 Chronicles chapter 36 talks about, before I start reading 1 Chronicles chapter 36, let me give the background of, you guys, most of y'all know the background of Jeremiah's life. In Jeremiah chapter 1, talks to Jeremiah and he says, "I have a job for you." And Jeremiah's like, "I'm too young, I can't do this." And God's like, "I want you to preach to this people." And Jeremiah goes and he preaches to the people of Israel. And time and time again, they don't listen. And they're living in sin. They're living lives of sin and rebellion against God. They've forgotten God. And here we find them in chapter 36. Chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles. "Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. And Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz and his brother and carried him to Egypt. And Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in feathers to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in the temple of Babylon." Now the rest, and then let's skip down to verse 11. "And Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord the Lord God of their fathers sent them by his messenger, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his word, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees." Let's skip down to verse 18. "And all the vessels..." I need to stay there, I'm sorry. "Who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young men or the maidens or old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these brought he to Babylon." And then it goes down to talk about is how he destroyed the temple, how he destroyed all that stuff. And here we find the nation of Israel. Here we find Jeremiah in Lamentations. We see that in verses 5 through 7 of chapter 36, that Jerusalem had been defeated. Verses 5 through 7, it says, verse 6 says, "And against him came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in feathers, carried him off to Jerusalem." And Nebuchadnezzar had also carried the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon. And we see how Jerusalem had been defeated. We see in verse 20 how he had taken many captive. And them that had escaped from the sword, he carried away captive to Babylon, where they were his servants, to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia. And then thirdly, we see that those who were left behind were fearful. If you read in Jeremiah chapter 42, it talks about how Jeremiah gave this speech to the remaining people that stayed behind, that didn't get captured by the king of Babylon. And he talks about how they need to stay in the land, and they need to not wander off. And then in chapter 43, it says, "And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Ahaziah the son of Hoshea, and Jonan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying, Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. And the Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, Go now into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captive into Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah." See, they thought that their ideas were better than God's, and so even though that God had proven himself true in bringing the judgment upon Israel and bringing Nebuchadnezzar down upon him, they're like, "No, we fear it. We're not going to trust the Lord. We're going to just live in fear, and we're going to go to Egypt. We think we'll be safer there." And so that's where we find Jeremiah in this passage. You know, nobody's listening to him. Nobody's following the Lord, the God that he serves. The temple's destroyed. The walls of his beloved country are destroyed. Everything's gone, you know, from a way that it shouldn't have gone. And this is where we find him. But, you know, leading up to this destruction was an exceeding haughtiness. The Bible says, only by pride, oh no. How does it go? Before pride cometh, no. Anyway, sorry. help me out, Tyler. How does the verse start? I'm just kidding. The Bible talks about pride cometh before a fall, and a haughty spirit before. Anyway, I got it. Pride cometh before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. I might have flipped that around. Anyway, sorry. It's just one of those. I'm not old. Don't worry. It's okay. I'm a senior though, so I mean, maybe I'm old. I don't know. Anyway. Tyler's young. He knows everything, so, you know. Anyway, and he was my camper, so I taught him everything I knew, and I forgot it all now. There was an exceeding haughtiness. Pride cometh before a fall, does it not? It's very true. They would not listen to the words of God. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 27. And God says to Jeremiah, he says, "Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee." So we see that they would not listen to the word of God. They thought that their way was the best way. In chapter 13, it says that in verse 10, it says, "And this evil people which refused to hear my words, which walked in the imagination of their hearts, and walked after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing." they decided to do things their way, not God's way. Then we see that they hardened their hearts. In chapter 17, verse 23, it says that, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ears, nor inclined their ears, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it came to pass, I'll not continue reading. They hardened their neck, they stiffened their neck, they would not listen to God. They heard what God had to say, and they continued to ignore God. That's the way they were living. But then we see the exceeding hypocrisy. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. I won't try not to read a whole lot of this. But you see that they forsook. Jeremiah chapter 7. No. There was an exceeding hypocrisy. Verse number six. If you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in the land, in this place, in the land, for I gave to your fathers forever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these things, abominations. We see that they forsook, they had hypocrisy. They forsook holiness. They profaned God's name, and they hid behind their religious acts of their day. They're like, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. We have the temple here. God's not going to destroy us. Jeremiah, you're a fool. Out there buying fields and doing whatever God would tell you to do and telling us that Babylon's going to destroy us. Ha, ha, ha. That's funny. No. And they're like, well, we go to church every Sunday. We read our Bibles and pray every day, but we commit wicked abominations. Let me read chapter 23. Chapter 23, starting in verse number 9, it says, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. For the land is full of idolaters, because of the swearing of the land mourneth. The swearing of the man. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both their prophets and their priests are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways, in darkness they shall be driven on." And verse 13, I'll skip reading, but we see the wickedness that he saw in the lives of these people. And what was his response to all this? What was his response? I mean, we know Jeremiah as being the weeping prophet, right? The weeping prophet. And we find him in Lamentations chapter 3. His response was a righteous response. Number one, he mourned for the loss. And we should mourn for the lost around us. See, our world is very corrupt in our days. You know, we see things going on even in our beloved country, as Jeremiah saw in his country. And it's sad that we have to deal with, you know, this all the gay stuff and all the LGBTQ and all that and the abortion stuff. That's just the top topics that are going around nowadays. But it's sad that we have to deal with all the violence that's going on and all that. But you know, even our brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, sometimes ourselves, they say that there's a very high percentage in our churches today of people that are into stuff like porn, stuff like stuff like that, and. It's been pretty bad in our age, but Jeremiah, you know, it should sadden our hearts that this stuff is going on. Jeremiah mourned for the loss. We should mourn for the lost souls. You know, if we're living in sin, it's not going to help the lost around us, is it? We're not going to be different from the world. The Bible tells us to be holy, for I, the Lord, am your God, am holy. And it's amazing what Christianity today tolerates that it wouldn't tolerate many years ago. And, TV shows, we're so much more tolerant of, you know, watching stuff on TV, the music on the TV, the words that they say. And, it's really sad in our culture today, you know. And we need to be holy. That means separate from the world. Amen. And that let me read to you in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, starting in verse 13, says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is wrought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so ye be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And, if Jeremiah were to try to preach the message that he preached to the people in Israel and Judah, and he was living just like they were, they'd be like, "Oh, you hypocrite, come on, get out of here." He wouldn't have no basis for the message that he was trying to preach, right? And if we're living in sin, if we're living just like the world, it's hard for them to find a basis for what we're trying to preach. They're like, "You're no different. It's just a game." And the Bible's not a game. The Christian life's not a game. It's serious. It's real. God is real. And we're not just a bunch of atheists putting on a show here. This is real. And Jeremiah knew it was real. He saw it was real. And the world has a lot to offer. It has a lot of fun things to offer, you know. I've been to the theme park and like to ride the rides, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a lot of things like gambling out there. They say, "Oh, that's fun." No, it's not fun. You know, it's only fun for a season, right? And that picture on your phone, you know, it helps you. It's fun right now. But down the road, it's not gonna help you, right? There's so much that this world tries to offer us in the way of vanity, in the way of the sinful lifestyle of this world. And, you know, if Jeremiah had, you know, just quit on God halfway through, you know, God would have not used him to write. I don't think God would have used him to write these books that we're reading now, Jeremiah and Lamentations, and. We need to be different from the world that we're trying to reach, but we need to mourn for the lost. The lost are on their way to hell; they're on their way to eternal torment, and life without God. And Bible says, "Look on the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest." Today's the day to get out there and do work for the Lord. You know, in our country, we've got greater opportunity than ever to reach the lost with the gospel. The people immigrating, illegal immigrants too. Now, I don't like illegal immigrants, but I love them in the Lord, because they're souls that need Christ, amen? And all these people from other countries, the mission fields of the world are coming to us, and we have that. But also, the mission fields out there, outside our country, are in need of the gospel. Millions of people everywhere. And, the truth of God changes lives, and we need to get that out there to them. And Jeremiah was faithful in proclaiming the truth. But then we see that one response was mourning, but then we also see in chapter 3, verse 17 through 27, he strengthened his relationship with God and his reliance on God when he saw, even then, when he saw the discouragement that was coming upon his country. Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 17, it says, "And thou hast removed my soul far from peace, and I forgot prosperity. And then I said, My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the worm and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. And I think this drew him to come to the Lord and just leave his burdens with the Lord, and to strengthen his relationship with God. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And God wants us to lay our burdens before him. And, you know, learning to come to God with your burdens strengthens your relationship with God. It helps you draw closer to God. But then we see he was faithful. With whatever God told him to do, he was always faithful. When God told him to go buy the field, he bought the field. When he went, I think it was Jeremiah that went down to the potter's field, and he went out there to do that. He went to preach in front of the temple. He'd go there and do that. And whatever God told him to do, he was always faithful. You know, God's given us many commands that he wants us to do. One of them is to reach the world that rejects him. You know, this world rejects God. And but Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's one of the things that God has told us to do. Like Jeremiah, he had a mission to go preach to all the people of Judah. Our job is to preach to the world. Give the world the gospel. And then, as I mentioned, God has called us to be holy. Be holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. And then, thirdly, God has called us to finish our course. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I know this verse, and when I get up here to quote it, it never comes to mind. That's terrible, John, isn't it? let's see. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, be faithful with what God has got for you to do. And Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. He said, I want to be faithful to the end. He said, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. So my question is to you tonight. What do you see? The need is great out there. The need is great. This world is dying. It's sinking. And it's sinking every day in sin. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, barely deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he saw me. He heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, and I'll saved am I. Amen. And that's what we need to see. We need to see the lost world around us. We need to see them. We need to make a difference in their lives through the power of God. And that's why I want to leave you with tonight here, folks. And, you know, all must be done to the glory of God. Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, that Christ may be preeminent in all things. So, Pastor, I'll hand it over to you now.